You know, when God begins a work in us, and I know that there's a lot of questions sometimes that we have. Thank you, dear.
And those questions, when they are brought with an understanding from the Word, then you know that it's going to be something you can stand on. Okay? If it's something that's brought out of a theology of people, then you've got to start questioning, wait a minute, where is this coming from? Where is this theology coming from? And the biggest problem that Christians have is with this part up here. This wonderful thing that we've got sitting on our shoulders. Okay? It's a very good gift if it's under the anointing of the Lord. But if it's under the anointing of reasoning, you're in trouble. So I would say that if you have this problem up here, you should get a hold of a book called Two Trees in the Garden. And by Rick Joyner. That book will take your brain for a ride and you'll be able to leave it on park and never again trust what you think you know. Because what you think you know, under an anointing of flesh and an anointing of reasoning, will bring you straight to hell. Now that's scary, but it's the truth. So I would highly recommend, if you've never read it, Two Trees in the Garden by Rick Joyner. It'll cost you about $12. But it's the probable best $12 you ever spent. Because it'll show you that in the Garden of Eden, the tree that Eve ate from, along with her husband, was the tree of the knowledge of good, which everybody thinks they know how and what is good, and the tree of the knowledge of evil. It's one tree. Then there was another tree, and that's the tree of life, which is Christ. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is one tree, which is where Christianity takes its cue from, thinking they've got it all answered by reasoning. And it will bring you straight to death. And hell, obviously. So, I'd like you to take a ride with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And 2 Corinthians, written by St. Paul, he's writing a second letter because obviously, they need it. And in verse 18, he says, and I'm using the Amplified this morning because I want to give you a little bit of a deeper understanding of what I believe he's trying to get us to see about ourselves. It might be good to preface that with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Which God says we're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So you and I are made up of three distinct parts, spirit, soul, and body. That's St. Paul's opinion, and his opinion is better than religion. Religion will tell you you're made up of two parts, soul and body. But you do have a spirit. So, I'd like you again to go to verse 18. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal. In parentheses it says, brief and fleeting. But the things that are invisible are deathless, they cannot die, and they are everlasting. Now, what is he trying to make us see here? Do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Now do you understand why you asked the question, Pat? Yeah. The things that are unseen were the actual cause of what we have here. Everything we see, feel, hear, and touch, was created by the unseen realm. So that's a wake-up call. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. They coordinated in the unseen realm and created what you and I live in. Everything we use on an everyday basis comes from the unseen realm. And yet, we reason away, well, is it real? Is it not real? Yes, it's more real than you are. Because it'll last for eternity. This outer garment, what's going to happen? Every time you look into the mirror, it gets a little bit older. And sometimes it has a few trials and difficulties in different corners. Amen? But we have what? We have an inner man. Our spirit being. So alive and so full of life when Christ is alive in it. When Christ is not in it, you are heading straight for where? Yeah, so it's not that complicated, is it? So as you believe in the one that came from death and resurrected on the third day, you know that he already guaranteed you free passage. Now, where you land in that other realm, where you will be in that other realm, is determined by your dedication to be obedient to what you've been called to be. And to carry out the commission that he gives you. Because you see, the unseen realm is everlasting. It is deathless. It's not going to die. So your spirit man will never die. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions will take you for a ride. How many have ever been on a ride with their mind, will, and emotions? Amen? And it's like a roller coaster. Oh, I feel great today. Wow. All of a sudden, a phone call came. You don't feel great anymore. You've just had your day shattered by one phone call. Now, if you were focused as the eagle was flying around, he goes higher when the wind blows. So if there's a wind that's blowing towards you, the Holy Ghost will take you higher. Above it. Above the storm. But if you start focusing on the storm and how wet you are, you are not going to rise very high. Amen? You're going to go what? Oh my God, I'm down here with the ducks. It's no fun. Where you could be above the problem. Amen? Okay. Let's back it up a little bit. Verse 1. Since we do hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God, granting us favor and benefits and opportunities, and especially salvation, we do not get discouraged, spiritless, and despondent with fear, or become faint with weariness and exhaustion. He said, we don't do that, okay? We have renounced disgraceful ways, secret thoughts, feelings, desires, and underhandedness, methods, and arts that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God, but we state the truth openly, clearly, and candidly, and we commend ourselves in sight and presence of God to every man's conscience. So now, he's giving you understanding that this is not going to be comfortable because you're not going to go by your natural senses. But even if our gospel, the glad tidings, also be hid, obscured, and covered up with a veil that hinders the knowledge of God, and it is hid only to those who are perishing and obscured, only to those who are spiritually dying, and veiled only to those who are lost. So in other words, the scripture was designed to bring you enlightenment, but those who are lost, they're going to look at the scripture and they're going to what? They're going to be baffled. It's not going to make sense to them. Why? Why? Because their spirit is not alive in Christ. Once your spirit man is alive in Christ, you may not comprehend the fullness of what you're reading. But if you give time to the Holy Spirit and you say, look, I'm not catching what you're meaning here. Holy Spirit, could you bring clarity? And a few days later, all of a sudden the lights go on. How many know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh my goodness, now I know where he's coming from. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's working inside of you. Inside here, not inside the brain. Now, the light will go on in the brain, and the understanding will come in the brain, but it's a byproduct of revelations in your spirit. It is your spirit man that is connected to the Father. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and you're going around, God of Assyria, Surushan Nikadimahaya, do you comprehend it? But maybe you'll get a gist of what he's saying by the emotions that you'll have a few minutes later. Yes or no? Sometimes it might be a word of knowledge that'll bounce into your head after you've released your spirit. That's a byproduct of your inner man giving you an education that is better than is written in books. Because you see, I'm not disqualifying books now. Don't be thinking that, because I wouldn't recommend 2 trees in a garden. All right? What I am recommending is that you trust the Lord. That you trust the relationship of that inner man that is everlasting and deathless, which is the real you. I have a spiritual father who's gone to be with Jesus. And we were having a discussion one day. And you might like this one. Yes, you, Pat. He says to me, Kim, did you ever get nosy to see who you are in the realm of the Spirit? I said, no. I never got nosy. He says, well, get nosy. Wow. You know, I never asked for that. So I kind of, mulled it over in my head and said, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Because he was pushing my buttons. Do you really want to know who you are in the Spirit? I said, well, I think I do want to know. I mean, I know this guy here. When I look in the mirror, well, I have second thoughts now. But you're catching on what I'm saying. And I said, you know, it would be kind of neat to know. You know, it would be wonderful, really, to know. And I said, Lord, educate me. Educate me. If this is really you, and you want me to know, it's okay. So, but I said, I'd like to see it in the Word first. He said, well, look at my son. Oh. Did he not take 3 on top of the mountain with him? And then he cried out, Father, glorify your son with the glory he had before he entered this realm. Say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for... See, I'm not going to fill your mouth with that one, but you better think about what he did and why he did it. Why didn't he take all 12 of them up there? Come on, think! Why would he take all 12 of them up there? Huh? They weren't all ready. On the way down, he tells them, shut up, keep it a secret. Uh-huh. Well, ladies, how good are you at keeping secrets? Gentlemen? Yep, I got one back there saying, I know how to keep my mouth shut. You would be the kind that would be able to get to the top of the mountain. If you blab too much, you ain't going up. You see? Because he had to trust them to shut up until the appointed time. Can he trust you and me? What do I mean by the appointed time? When it was time to release the information. Yes, that's right. And when the others were prepared. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready. So if Blabbermouth went off and just gave all the information away before the resurrection, he blew it. Okay? So there's things and there are people that are going to get experiences with God that you may not be qualified to go or receive at this time. You might have a little bit more inner workings needed. Amen? Remember the little song, God's Still Working on Me? Yeah. He's still working on me. He's working on you and me. And what we need to be remembering is that the inner part of us is deathless and everlasting and invisible. Unless the Lord decides to let you see. So, did those three and Jesus himself see what he was before he entered this realm? And if he did, can he do it for you? Would you be able to keep your mouth shut? Would you be able to keep it to yourself until the appointed time? I like that, hopefully. I like that word. That's good. Are you catching on? Are you catching on that you can be nosy about who you are in the realm of the Spirit? Are you catching on that he wants to reveal these things to you? But if he can trust your mouth, then you're going to learn that there's limitations depending on your abilities to keep it sealed or to open it up about an emotional high. Yeah. This happened back in 92, 93. There was a word of knowledge given to me. And that word of knowledge was, Kim, God's going to take you on a trip. And you're going to have revelation in the realm of the Spirit. But you won't be able to remember anything but your return. And I thought, oh, God, that should be exciting. You know? So I said to the Lord, you know, whatever you've planned, Father, go ahead. Let it happen to me according to your will. And I forgot the prayer because I did it on my way home, you see. And about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I went to bed like I normally do. Same corner, same space, fell asleep. And the Lord took my spirit, took me out of my body, and off we went. My body stayed snoozing. But we went on a trip together. Now, approximately, I'm guessing, around 4 a.m., I am literally seeing myself over the Chicopee River, which is where I live. And I am literally, like in when you're landing with an airplane and the trees start getting bigger and, you know, all of a sudden they're getting normal size. And I know where I am. I'm right in my backyard, just a few hundred yards out from my backyard, flying in over the river, and all of a sudden, I did this, a complete left turn, and went up and into my bedroom window and into my body. And I'm totally awake. And then the words of the prophetic are coming into my head. Oh, my God. That was prophesied. Lord, what did you reveal to me? And guess what he said? Nothing. I couldn't remember where I went. I had no memory of what was revealed. Because you know what? I probably couldn't keep my mouth shut. I know that now. But I didn't know it then. And you know what? He couldn't trust me with that revelation. Nope, not yet. Not time. That's okay. It's not a problem. I'm not upset about it. But that's why it didn't happen to you yet. Okay? See, God is a God of eternal realities being revealed into the earth a little bit at a time. And he's using the church to do it. He's using you. And he wants to use you in greater depth. But can he trust your mouth? See, I could take you to James chapter 3 and show you the power of life and death is in the tongue. Okay? So if he's going to allow death to come out of your tongue through a revelation that he gives you before you're ready to handle keeping your mouth shut, he ain't going to do it. It's a good God, but he's also a very, what? Cautious father. A loving papa. Not giving you more than you can handle ahead of schedule. He's going to give it to you when you are prepared. When you've been prepared, he'll give it to you. And he'll give you more than enough. Yeah, it still is. I can also tell you that there were other times where he took me into circumstances and it took months and years before I understood. Months and years. I have a piece of paper that's been written by one individual that goes back to the early 90s, and Diana Drew and my sister in Christ, who's living in Florida now, gave words, and there's like 3 pages. And out of those 3 pages, I would say 97% has already taken place. But there's 3% still missing. 3%. That's not complete yet. Okay. Can God finish the job? It might be kind of too young. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, when I am mature, I'll be able to keep my mouth shut. I'll be able to keep a secret. I'm asking you, don't give up on me. Keep training me. Keep healing me. And keep me in the realm of your spirit so that I can become the man or woman of God that you've called me to be. I'm an eternal being. I'm an invisible, deathless, everlasting being. fully alive in Christ. Waiting for more. Waiting for more. So that I can help my brothers and sisters in the Lord to mature as I learn to mature to a greater depth. In Jesus' name. And when I'm ready, I've been prepared by your Spirit. Show me who I am. In the Spirit. Amen.